what show you tune in is hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it goes. Talk radio. Double talk is all you get.
Folks, we're back. Hour two of the National Intel Reports. I'm your host, John Statmiller, and we're with you with Webster Griffin Tarpley, author of a few books here, and we'll get into that and how you can get copies of his books. And my apologies out there to the listening audience. Our international shortwave outlet switched us over about a minute early, but it's better than a minute too late, I guess. At any rate, we are back with you. And Webster, I'm trying to get my mind wrapped around this geopolitical, economic flim-flam job that is going on. And we are in a very, very precarious situation. This country, if something isn't done, at least on the economic front, almost immediately, and if you're to tell me that, this is the case here with Iran and Iraq, at least to shore up the American dollar, then President Bush should have come out and said that to begin with, that this is the grand plan and we're in a panic mode. But I see trillions of dollars. They are starting to talk in the trillions of dollars for this little foray into the Middle East, which I said at the top of last hour, the only thing that I see out of this is pitting a billion Christians against a billion Muslims while certain parties sit back and then pick up the pieces afterwards. Tell me that this is just not to shore up the dollar.
Well, it is broader, as we discussed at the beginning. It's to try to impose a kind of international order based on this mythical, fantastic concept of a war on terrorism. And it's also then designed to balkanize all those Arab countries, that Bernard Lewis plan. If you look at that Arabistan region of Iran, the oil part that they want to detach, there are liberation fronts operating there. You could call those the BP liberation fronts, because those are the ones who want to take the oil. It's the old Anglo-Iranian oil company that they nationalized, and that's BP, and put that back into the hands of BP. In other words, those would become pathetic, impotent little states that could never stand up to the multinational oil corporation. So you've got all that. It's also this idea. It comes from Carl Schmitt. It's a very important figure. S-C-H-M-I-T-T. Carl Schmitt. He is the secret guru of the neocons. And it's interesting because if you wanted to define Carl Schmitt in a couple of words, it's Hitler's lawyer. Hitler needed a lawyer, and because when Hitler had to have people to tell him how to do his coup d'état in legal form, which he did. Right? He did it by maintaining all external legality, at least until he got to the point where he wanted to take the mask off. So their idea is that Carl Schmitt tells you that you can't have a society without an enemy image. In other words, the only way you can justify oligarchy, plutocracy, all the abuses that we see is to say, well, we're doing this, these are unavoidable because we're fighting this endless war. And that's exactly how they treat it, as an endless war. So I think there's a large element of irrationality in what they do in the Middle East, but they tend to pick up reasons as they go along. And right now the reason is this Iranian business. The Iranians announced that they were going to have this kind of a market in 2005, early in the year. The Iranians had begun trading oil for euros in 2003. So as they get closer and closer to breaking with the dollar, they become more and more the target.
All right, hold on. We'll be right back, folks.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
This is Christine with another Bring 'Em Home message. Have we as Americans had enough yet? With the recent crisis in New Orleans and the southern Gulf Coast, death and destruction have been visited upon Americans once again. The government's response has been to bring foreign troops onto America's land. Federal and foreign troops now control the region, while the National Guardsmen are away, entangled in foreign wars, unable to protect their homes and families. The New World Order has reached its long-planned objective, to secure American troops on foreign soil and foreign troops on American soil. Let's get these foreign troops out and bring our American troops home now. Help us make the public aware of this dire situation by displaying on your cars our Bring 'Em Home magnetic ribbons or our new Bring 'Em Home bumper stickers. To place your orders, call 877-605-9200 or go to rbnlive.com or bringemhome.org.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Folks, we're back here. 800-313-9443. You want to join in on the conversation. I've got with me today Webster Griffin Tarpley. For those people out there that take that top of the hour news, I don't know why you do it. We are the news. You can turn in. You can tune into that hogwash on ABC or whatever top of the news hourly radio service any time of the day and get that brand of propaganda. It never changes. Webster, I want to take some phone calls here today. Let me go to Brett in Kansas. You've been holding almost forever since yesterday. Go ahead, Brett.
That's all right, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Fine, thank you. Well, I'm sure both of you would probably be interested to note that President George W. Bush is going to come lecture at my university on Monday.
Oh, goody. Do you have a ticket for me?
I wish I could get tickets for other people. I don't know if they're gonna have a question and answer session or not. I hope they do.
If they do, I guarantee you there will be no media in there to relay the information.
Yeah, they're already not letting cameras in. They're only letting faculty and students in. And I've gone and I've questioned Lee Hamilton from the 9/11 Commission and Mikhail Gorbachev and Ted Turner. No problem, but I've just got a feeling they're not going to let anything happen this time.
Now, George is in his middle of his PR recoup campaign. It's been going on out of the offices of the White House since at least November. And as I stated earlier, Webster, and I don't know how he thinks he's going to get the American people behind this, because now they figured out that, wait a minute, Saddam Hussein really didn't attack us on September 11th, which the media just allowed that to happen, leave that impression lie. How did we figure out, less than 24 hours after September 11th, if intelligence was so bad, how did we know Osama bin Laden, which was an asset of the CIA to begin with, how did we know that he masterminded September 11th?
Well, of course, this points to the fraudulent nature of the entire thing. The one thing I would point out, if I were going to ask Bush a question, here's what I would ask him. Just before Christmas, and these things tended to get lost in the preparations for the holiday, Bush came out saying, well, the Gulf of Tonkin resolution that was passed a couple of days after 9/11 gave me the power to wage war, and I'm simply using my war powers to snoop and to spy on American citizens here. I just want to remind people what Bush wanted, and then what was passed, and maybe ask him about this. Bush originally wanted, on September 12, 2001, Bush demanded authorization from the Congress to, quote, deter and preempt any future acts of terrorism or aggression against the United States. Very broad, right? The declaration of war against the world, open-ended, no limit, right? Nothing to do with 9/11 necessarily. The Congress said no. This is in an op-ed by Senator Daschle, former Democratic senator. The Congress said, no, we'll give you all necessary and appropriate force against those nations, organizations, or persons the president determined planned, authorized, committed, or aided the 9/11 attacks. That's pretty much what they passed. At the last minute, though, before they voted for that, Bush came in and said, and this is the real eye-opener, Bush said, I would like to have all necessary and appropriate force in the United States and against those nations, organizations, or persons that the president determined, planned, authorized, committed, or aided the 9/11 actions. Now, think of that. All necessary and appropriate force in the United States. Now, that sounds like civil war. That sounds like rounding people up. That sounds like things that go beyond police actions and become actual civil war. What is he thinking? That his divisions, war on terror divisions are going to fight the loyal divisions who believe in the Constitution? I don't know. This opens up a tremendous area, and I think this particular detail has been missed. It was in the Washington Post on December 23rd by Daschle, the power we didn't grant. Daschle was trying to say, no, we didn't give you power to wiretap everybody. The other one I would ask him is why you don't go to this FISA court, right? The FISA court here in Washington would put a wiretap on a ham sandwich. They'll do whatever the government wants. The only thing that I can conclude is that the material that they were scooping in and vacuuming in with the National Security Agency had to do with terrorism. I think they probably started pre-9/11, certainly 9/11 cover-up, and then possibly relations to other terrorist acts, be it Madrid or London or Chechnya or you name it, that they don't want the federal judges, as weak as they are, they don't want anybody outside of their very limited cliques to see these things because it could lead to unintended consequences. So those are two questions I'd ask him.
I think I'd probably ask him about the controlled demolition of Towers 1 and 2 and Building 7 before I'd ask him any of those.
Well, you can ask him that too, sure, by all means.
I don't think I'm going to get the chance to, unfortunately, but hey, if anything happens, John, I'll call in and give you an update, sir.
All right. Well, I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
And do be careful, though, because they harass people. Right?
Oh,
they give you a real hard time.
I've been visited by Homeland Security before.
Oh, I bet you have.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. Thank you.
Appreciate
your call. Yeah, Homeland Security. It's like we're in the fatherland here. Webster, aside from the Middle East, I want to remind people that, and we talked about it a little bit here, Bill Clinton, The Project for a New American Century Gang, the Zionist crew, as I like to refer to them as, these plans were drawn up a decade ago. They were on the table in 1996. Why they didn't do this with Bill Clinton, I do not know, but this whole thing in the Middle East, it started with Bill Clinton and probably before, but the burden of this fell into his lap. But some for some reason, they didn't use Bill Clinton. I don't know the reasons why. I can surmise because, well, quite frankly, he wasn't real credible as a president. He was likable, but as I've said about Donald Rumsfeld, Rummy, I'm sure he'd be great entertainment at a cocktail party. But they didn't want to do this for some reason under Bill Clinton, and it was actually started then. But under under Bill Clinton, Bill Clinton's mentor, by the way, at Georgetown University, folks, and you've heard this before, Carol Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, which I have a copy, which they tried desperately years ago to eradicate them, but somehow they still popped up. He was an insider. He was on the inside, but not yet one of them, but saw no problem with their world dominance scheme. He said this, and this is on page 324 of Tragedy and Hope. He said, nothing less than to establish a world system able to dominate the political system of each country. Now, and this was basically the plan to control the whole system in a feudalistic manner by the central banks of the world working in concert and by secret agreements, by the way, folks, arrived at infrequent meetings and conferences. So, this, how much of the world globalist scheme is part of this?
Well, I think this word globalist can be misleading. The ultimate thing that is going on is U.S.-British world domination. It is the domination of the dollar. It's the City of London and Wall Street that emerge as the great victors from all this.
Well, what about the banks?
Yeah, the banks are essentially the U.S. and British banking system.
Okay.
Now, you've also got now this Eurogark phenomenon. In other words, you have the project of European unification, which had positive features at the beginning and continues to have some, has been taken over by the Eurogarks, in particular the European Central Bank, one of the most sinister institutions that you can imagine. There were important tensions in 2003. There is simply no doubt that there was resistance from France, Germany, Russia, China against this project of having the Iraq war. But in the meantime, France was destabilized. We could go into this. Riots in France last November, those were done by the U.S. and the British. Those were done through, interestingly, networks that had been Nazis, old Nazi networks that had converted to Islam and had gone into the immigrant communities of France in order to foment riots and street fighting and anarchism and gratuitous violence of various types. And then the political overthrow of Schröder in Germany, Schröder being somebody, you can see it, he's essentially aligned with a German-Russian continental concept of where Germany's future lies, a kind of Eurasian notion. And there are plenty of precedents for that going back into the 1920s.
This has got to have old Adolf spinning in his grave.
Yes, it's not what Hitler wanted. The people who wanted this were Rathenau, R-A-T-H-E-N-A-U, the Jewish prime minister of Germany, foreign minister in the early 1920s, who said, well, we're being kicked out of Europe here by the Treaty of Versailles. Why don't we make a deal with Soviet Russia and the German army? These characters running around in monocles, very conservative, thought that was a fine idea. So what they were going to do was to have Germany produce for the Russian market, and unfortunately this was wrecked by the British currency warfare of 1923, right, the great hyperinflation of Germany. Anyway, right now the French resistance and the German resistance seem to have collapsed. The resistance of the smaller Europeans, the Belgians and so forth, seems to have collapsed. The U.S. and the British are running wild in the European Union bureaucracy. They control the European Central Bank pretty much automatically. So now what you've got left as a resistance comes down really to Putin and China. And these resistances have very obvious problems, very obvious weaknesses. And then you've got considerable resistance in the U.S. population. That's the other important resistance that I would point to.
Yeah, and that's what I said. I mean, does Bush and his cronies really expect to pull off an Iranian attack here? Because they're still chomping at the bit to find out what happened about 9/11. We've got a break here. We'll take the break. We'll come back on the other side with your phone calls at 800-313-9443. If I neglected to bring out any points or ask any pertinent questions, we've got the smartest audience in the world out there. Let's hear from you. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Another ragtag band declaring independence. Laid their bodies down on a bloody war, and liberty for their descendants.
It appears, ladies and gentlemen, we are the modern-day renegades up against a system that's got the medias, it's got the banks, it's got, well, according to all the indicators that I have, has owned the White House for so many years, I don't even want to count. The Department of Defense, you name it. Let's just call it the ever-reaching oligarchy. If you go to Webster Tarpley's website, www.tarpley, that's spelled T-A-R-P-L-E-Y.net, his books are available up there, folks, and I would highly suggest that you read this man's material. By the way, Webster, how do I get a ticket to be on Israeli radio? I would love to be in the middle of Zionist land, America.
I'll try to propose you through people that I know. I was there to basically argue the point of view, don't attack Iran.
Right.
It was a rabbi who said, well, it's imperative now to attack Iran. There's a consensus in all parts of Israeli society that Iran should not have nuclear weapons, and therefore the thing to do is to attack Iran. And I tried to show how that would be absolute folly. that they would be missiles, probably crude ones, but maybe carrying poison gas or God knows what,
right,
raining down on Israel, raining down on the U.S. forces, that the U.S. forces would take the brunt of the counterblow. The British forces would actually take even more. The British forces are going to be in real trouble if there's an attack on Iran, because they're closer to Iran in terms of military stuff.
Well, my message would be simple, Webster. I would just tell the audience over there in Israel, call your neocon Zionist home, because the American people are catching on to them also. So it's
again,
not about...
I don't think the neocons represent Israel in terms of the majority of the population. I think the neocons are a gang of power-hungry madmen in business for themselves, and with this, the relation to Israel is, at least in terms of the political interest, is somewhat tenuous. They're linked to the Likud, to Netanyahu, let's say. That they're
linked
to.
Well, the Likud, but if you look at, let's talk Ariel Sharon. I mean, he was in there for the establishment of Israel. He was a general. It's a sad day for a lot of people in Israel that now that Mr. Sharon is out of the picture entirely. This might be a breath of fresh air and maybe an opportunity for the Palestinians, but let's not get too hopeful, folks, because we're saber-rattling and threatening nuclear war in the Middle East.
Well, his last big campaign was to tell the Israeli Defense Forces, be ready to attack Iran in March at the same time that this oil market is going to open. The only thing I would say, I have one thing to say in favor of Sharon, he's not Netanyahu, and Netanyahu is worse, considerably worse. So there's that. So I was trying to say, why don't you go to the negotiating table? If you feel threatened, I'm sure the Iranians feel threatened, too.
The lesser of two evils is still evil. I'll tell you what, let's go to the phones here. As soon as my producer runs back to the board, let's go to Ann in New Mexico. Thanks for holding, Ann.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Hi, Webster.
Hello.
Yahweh bless you.
Thank you.
Great conversation. I'm looking at this Children of Satan, an article by Jeffrey Steinberg. And he said, yes, we're engaged in murderous, our government, murderous imperial adventures abroad and brutal police state repression at home. And he made the connection. You brought up Carl Schmitt. Schmitt personally arranged for Leo Strauss to leave Germany on a Rockefeller Foundation fellowship in 1932 to study in London and Paris.
That figures.
And he ended up at the University of Chicago, where he influenced a generation of people, you know, like Harvey Mansfield, who taught Irving Kristol.
Oh, and, Bill's daddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all of these people, for Leo Strauss and his disciples, I'm quoting, the ignoble lie, disinformation, is the key to achieving and holding political power, and raw political power is the ultimate goal. For Strauss and the Straussians, there are no universal principles, no natural law, no virtue, no agape, no notion of man made in the living image of Yahweh. Could you comment on the Straussian connection? And also, is this a currency war also?
Well, I think I have to say, I think I have a much stronger critique of Leo Strauss than the one that you've just
mentioned, please give it to us.
Which is fine as far as it goes. But those are the well-known biographical facts that you can get.
Would you please give it to us?
If you look in my book, 9/11 Synthetic Terror, I have found these quotations from Leo Strauss that are really chilling.
Yes.
Because he says, if we ever get a situation where the world might be pacified and where prosperity became the rule and people became concerned with their families and the prosperous and peaceful future, then he says at that point, real men would have to come forward and engage in something that he calls the nihilistic revolution. Think about it. The nihilistic revolution.
Well, that's...
Which would be... Let me finish. It's a form of revolt against peace and progress and prosperity.
I know. Right.
Which would take humanity back to the Stone Age, he says, the primal horde.
That
is not to be found in the source that you've just mentioned. Those quotes, I think, you only find in my book. They're from a dialogue of Leo Strauss called On Tyranny from the 1950s that he carried out with the French Hegelian crackpot by the name of Kojève. And they go through all these ideas. And Strauss says, the revolt against civilization, against a successful civilization, is that we must have war, we must have oppression, we must have poverty. And he says we should unite against the pacification of the world. Unite against the notion that there could be peace, progress, and prosperity.
All right. Stay that right there. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means...
Which means... They still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
And in New Mexico, any follow-up here for my guest today?
Yes, that is chilling, absolutely chilling. And I read Jadia B. Drury wrote 2 books, The Political Ideas. Well, she wrote a lot of books, but I read The Political Ideas of Leo Strauss. And Alexander Kojève, The Roots of Postmodern Politics.
Kojève.
Yeah. And chilling, absolutely chilling, what you just said. And that's basically what she was saying, too. These people are murderous, and they don't believe in Yahweh, and they just want to carry out their endless wars, secrecy, and the big lie.
Right. Shadia Drury, I think Shadia Drury is a good source. That she references, she says there is this exchange of Strauss and Kojève that points in some disturbing ways, but she doesn't give you the full quotes. You can get the full quotes from Strauss's book On Tyranny with this exchange with Kojève, or better yet, from my book, which gives you the key parts.
Thank you.
All right.
Would you comment also on the dissolution of the American dollar? There's nothing there to prop it up. And is there a currency war going on?
Well, I think it's the collapse of a world reserve currency.
Yeah.
And when you have that, it's very dangerous. Let me just tick off a few points. We did do the Iran oil market denominated in euros. There are a couple of other factors we should mention quickly. Up to now, the post-war generation has been net buyers of stocks and mutual funds. But now this age cohort is starting to reach 60. They're starting to think about retirement. They're going to start to sell into the stock market. Bush's plan to loot Social Security, I think, was a last-ditch and now failed attempt to convoy huge sums of public money to keep the Wall Street bubble going. It won't succeed. That this whatever Social Security looting Bush can do won't come in time. So
you mean
that,
Webster, there's not enough money coming out of the states because, according to the comprehensive annual financial reports, that every state of the union has these. They've been sticking their money into Wall Street all the while. They're real nervous that people are starting to find out about that one. So that wasn't enough money coming from the states. Bush, in his failed attempt, and I remember the Social Security, they wanted to take the money and dump it into the stock market.
Yes, and that has failed. So now, as soon as the baby boomers, so to speak, begin cashing in their mutual funds for their retirement expenses in their retirement homes, that is going to turn into some kind of a mudslide right there. The other one is the home bubble, right, that Greenspan created. After he did the dot-com bubble, he shifted over into the real estate and home buying bubble. That depends on many billions of dollars coming into the U.S., and we've just seen that with the Iranian oil market or similar things that Russia might do vis-a-vis the European Union, say, Russia starts taking euros for natural gas and oil vis-a-vis Europe and Indonesia getting into the act and Venezuela anyway. You'll see that if there's a net outflow of assets out of the United States, that home buying bubble will go down. That will destroy the banking system. Plus, you've got General Motors and Ford really both bankrupt, the airlines bankrupt, and a whole series of other industries that are bankrupt. So it seems to me that the dollar is on the verge of a very, very rough slide down into devaluation. You have this guy Bernanke at the Federal Reserve, right? He's going to stop publishing M3.
Right.
And most people say, well, that means they're going to do huge monetization of debt. For example, if the Chinese central bank comes forward and says, here, we have $500 billion of treasury bonds. You take them back now, and we want our money. What they're going to do is print dollars. That's monetization of debt. The Chinese turn in their treasury notes, and the Fed has to give them dollars, and there you get hyperinflation. A lot of people have talked about hyperinflation for many years, but now I think we may be really on the verge of it.
There has been indications, and every once in a while I'll watch the Wall Street pundits, these financial shows, which they're nothing but front men for Wall Street to begin with. But I've been watching them, and they've been getting real, real nervous of late. And I've heard some incredible things coming out of their mouths of late.
It's very unstable. You just had the Tokyo market collapse about 7% between yesterday and today. And who knows what that is. But those are maybe the pre-tremors of something big. And again, what we know is big is March 20th is the Iranian oil market. And that's going to be very bad for the dollar. And that's what seems to be propelling these people towards military aggression to stop it from happening.
Well, Webster, it's just not China that's holding a lot of our paper over there. It's also Japan. And their banks have been in the tubes, down the tubes now for 14, 15 years.
Correct. And they suffer. I think it's clear that Japan and Germany also has very high unemployment. They're suffering from the lack of a world monetary system. And I would say, as an approximation, it's clear you've got the euro, you've got the dollar still, there'll still be a dollar, some kind, there'll be a yen, and what you have to do is to somehow get to a situation of fixed parities among those and a return to gold settlement so that we can have some of the positive features of the Bretton Woods system and try to relaunch worldwide exports on the basis of that.
And thank you for your call. I appreciate it very much.
And gold.
Yeah, thank you.
And gold, yes. I think gold, obviously for self-defense, gold is an idea.
All right. Yeah, this was really odd. What has kept, and I always wondered this, Webster, what has kept countries like Japan from coming back to the United States, Uncle Sammy's door, banging on the door and saying, hey, we're bleeding here, we've cut an artery, we need some money, and we need it fast. What has kept them from doing exactly that? Now, I understand the trade deficit. China's real happy with this because in the admission of some people, even one woman that runs the port, the biggest port out in in California for Costco and all the goods coming in from China. Is this what is keeping China at bay because we're running this huge deficit and they're making money off the United States? Is that why they're not demanding their paper be redeemed?
Well, I think there are two sides to it. One is that the yen would have some problems as being a world reserve currency itself. There's a certain amount of technical apparatus you have. The Japanese have done, they did well in the past, up until about 1985. The Japanese did well in a system where world trade was conducted on the basis of dollar-denominated bills of exchange. In other words, export financing was in dollars either drawn on a New York bank and then increasingly on a euro-dollar bank in London up until 1985. Then after that, it turned into something not so good for them. Since then, they've been arm-twisted. Anybody in this world who says, I'm getting out of the dollar into the euro, will be declared a terrorist. That's what happened to Saddam Hussein. That's what's happening to Chavez. That's what's happening to Iran. There is no doubt. If you try to flee the dollar, you're going to be declared a terrorist. It's military force because it's a looting system backed up by brute military aggression and blackmail.
Well, this makes absolutely no sense as far as us being, let's say, the economic engine or the fuel that burns hot to fuel the economic engine. We're dealing with still with the Saudis, with Venezuela, with hopefully we can recoup something. And folks, don't get me wrong here. I'm not in support of any form or fashion of Iraq or an Iranian intrusion. Never was, never will be. But we have oil here. We've got Anwar. We've got Gull Island. We have got reserves inside this our own country. We're just talking about that neck of the woods that we directly control. We have enough. Our reserves up there are as big as the Saudis ever were. And we can pump that out of the ground, produce gasolines and fuels. You could see $1.25, $1.30, maybe as high as $1.50 with all the government taxes on it. But we could see $1.50 for a price for a gallon of gasoline if we would just unplug ourselves from the Middle East. So I'm not quite understanding this, that we are in the economic death throes here in this country. And Webster, I don't know how up you are on the economy. If you believe the talking heads, they'll all tell you that across the board there's only 5% unemployment in America here. That is patently, blatantly a lie.
It's much higher. It's two or three times that at the very least, and there are generations of despair built into that. See, the problem with the current dollar economy is the ruling elite exports green pieces of paper and imports $1.5 billion to $2 billion of goods and services every day. The result of that is bad for us because that's why you have so much unemployment and declining standards of living. By my calculation, the U.S. standard of living has declined by 50% since, the mid-1960s or 1970 or something
like
that.
Enter in the feminist movement that says that, you know, you can empower yourself. And isn't that quite just timely that we have the feminist movement along with that decrease in the standard of living that you just mentioned, and that the woman has to be in the workplace to maintain a home, to pay a mortgage, to pay the cars, you know, keep the kitties in sneakers and food and whatever else the case may be.
Or another movement that tells you steak is bad just at the moment that you can't afford it anymore.
Yeah, right.
So you have a declining standard of living. The only way to get out of that is to have a comprehensive reindustrialization program. And that cannot be based on being the buyer of last resort, which is what happens today, right? Anybody wants to dump anything, they can dump it in the U.S. and get paid in dollars. That's just the way it works.
But we're selling our raw materials off to places like China. We have become to China as any other third world country.
Correct, correct. So that's what you get when you get deindustrialization, and that was done by Volcker and by Greenspan, and it was done through Carter, through Reagan. And the rest of it was done under Clinton. That has never changed. So the idea is, I agree, you have advertising attacking the free trade schemes. I think that's absolutely right. No more free trade. Abrogate all these free trade deals. Go to a system of modest, sort of mild protectionism based, on promoting exports. Look, every other country in the world has to, if they want to buy something, they've got to export something, earn the foreign exchange, and buy what it is they want. This crazy system with the dollar means that the U.S. is exempted from that fundamental rule of reality. So if we had a system of reindustrialization, you could begin creating exports that would allow you to earn real foreign exchange and have imports then that you could actually pay for. And this would be better for everybody in the world, especially people in the United States who have to work for a living, because it would mean a labor market where your skills would be in demand and where real wages might start to rise again.
But Webster, what we've done is, well, we've leveled the playing field. We have some 40 million illegals in this country right now. Voila, there is your new cheap labor market.
Yes, the only thing I can say to that is that is a real problem. Under the current system, that is a terrible problem. And obviously, the illegal aliens are used to
drive
down.
You just said the current system. What do they have in plans for the future? Because the cheap labor force is already here.
Well, I just have to tell you that if you went to a real a reindustrialization program, I've seen economic booms in a number of countries. The U.S. in the 1950s, Italy in the early 60s. In Taiwan in the 1980s, as soon as you have a real economic boom started up, the first thing you have is a labor shortage. It's the first thing. And you always get people coming in. Germany in the 1960s was drawing in Italians, Turks, Portuguese, North Africans, everybody. And they were getting decent wages because they were in Germany in the mid-1960s, there was no unemployment to speak of. You'd get the newspaper and there would be a whole section, jobs that are going begging, please come and work for us.
Well, I can remember those days.
It's unbelievable because people today have no, they couldn't imagine what this looks like, that your skills are actually in demand and you could pick and choose the job that you wanted.
Which then they had to pay the going rate because that labor market was real tight, but not anymore. And we've deindustrialized. You said it before. We've shipped all the industry out of this country. We're now a service. I mean, to the point that George Bush oversees and puts his blessing on, and I got to laugh when I say this, but it's not funny, that he reclassifies McDonald's and building a hamburger is now a new manufacturing class.
Well, McDonald's is a component of the Dow Jones Industrial Average, so you can take it from there.
I'll tell you what, we got to get back to the phones, otherwise these people are going to have my onions on the chopping board here.
Okay.
Audrey in Missouri. Thanks for holding, Audrey.
Hello, John. Hi. Hello. Hello, Mr. Tarpley.
Hello.
I got a question for Mr. Tarpley. I don't have a computer, so how can I get your book?
Well, you can, let's see. You can, this makes it harder. It's Progressive Press in Joshua Tree, California. And I think if you, I guess every time I try to tell you something, it gets back to the internet. What I would say is go to the public library, log on to a computer at the public library, and put an order into Amazon.com. If you need to pay by check, you can go to Progressive Press in Joshua Tree, California. Look them up. ProgressivePress.com, and you can figure a way to buy it by mail, sending them a check.
You know, I wouldn't mind picking up that book and carrying it on the network. Is that possible?
Yes, by all means. I'll have my publisher contact you immediately.
Very good. Because I'll tell you what, it's a book. There are times, Webster, that I have guests on the air that they have books that I would consider interesting and worth a read, but then there are people that write books that I consider a must-read, and yours is one of them.
Well,
so I'd be more than happy to carry that book with this network.
I will absolutely have my publisher. His name is John Leonard. He's out there in Joshua Tree, California. The book is printed in the USA, in Illinois, and first edition actually printed in Nebraska, second in Illinois. So I'll try to make that possible.
All right.
In the meantime, Go to your public library. Get on the internet that way, right? It's always possible.
All right, Audrey. Anything else?
Yes, I've got a newspaper here that I got, I don't know, about 6 or 8 months ago, and it says that 9/11 was planned in 1976.
Oh, I think you could say that there are harbingers, there are pilot projects, there are ideas that are floating around in half-baked form.
Well, this was a serviceman. He was a He was in the service at that time.
Can you cite the article or the man's name?
Well, I don't have the paper in front of me, but I've got it here. I could maybe copy it off and send it to John.
Well, I would also say, I mean, the way I come at this is from having analyzed things like the bread brigades in Italy and the Bader-Meinhof group in Germany, and there is a long-term commitment of NATO intelligence to what you can call geopolitical or spheres of influence terrorism, as terrorism is a way to manage the Yalta spheres of influence. That is certainly there. Whether, you know, you'd have to see, what does he mean? The bare concept of 9/11 or 9/11 in every detail.
They planned. I fly in planes into the towers, and they went through the whole thing, and he said the sergeant told him never, ever to talk about it.
Right. Well, I think that's quite possible.
Yeah, were you listening, by the way, Audrey, were you listening to Greg Szymanski's show earlier today?
I can't get you. I can only get your last hour.
Okay. You can't pick up 11915?
No, it won't come in.
I'm sorry. Well, it's too bad. You know, boy, I don't like plugging people into computer land if you don't absolutely positively have to have it. But I've got to tell you, Audrey, you're missing out on a lot of good programs that you could get through the Internet for a cheap dial-up service every month. I hate to see you that much in the dark there in Missouri.
Well, I'm just going to have to admit to you that I'm a poor person and can't afford one.
Oh, I understand that.
One thing I would say is if you look back into the 1970s, there's certainly the notion of an aircraft crashing into a crowded stadium is in the air by 1970, 75.
How about the movie Black Sunday? Remember that one?
I don't know that one. Sunday. I'll have to look at that.
All right. Thank you, Audrey. I appreciate
you. If you want.
I appreciate it, Audrey. Thank you. Hang on. We'll take one more call and then say adieu to Mr. Tarpley right after this.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
Americans already realize our nation is in deep trouble, need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Well, Webster's Tarpley... I'm sorry, I had to run back into the broadcast room, and I'm out of breath here. Webster Griffin Tarpley, his website, www.tarpley.net. That's simply T-A-R-P-L-E-Y. The books, 9/11, Synthetic Terror, Made in the USA, George Bush, The Unauthorized Biography. And if you want to view a video speech by Mr. Tarpley, go to the website, propagandamatrix.com, you can find that video speech there. Let me go back to the phones. Reggie in Michigan. Hello, Reggie.
Evening, gentlemen. Good show tonight.
Thank you.
The fellow that just called in. His reference was some troops in Germany that were PSYOP in war games in 76. That's okay. What he's referring to.
All right.
And next, I'm in Detroit, John, and I'm aware of Black Sunday. I got the feeling. What should I be watching for?
No.
Give me some heads up.
Well, this is no covert message to the listening audience out there. This was just a movie that was done for the listeners that aren't aware of it. It was some kind of financial terrorism, and they were going to fly a blimp into a crowded football stadium. But, Webster, what I wanted to ask you, and Reggie, if you'll hang on here a second, this supposed terrorism rings, the Al-Qaeda, all these groups that want to do harm not only to us but other countries worldwide, who is doing this? What intelligence agencies are putting their people on the streets to do this?
Well, as I show in my book, back during the Afghan war of the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan and the guerrilla war of the Afghan Mujahideen against the Soviets, if you go back and read Robert Gates of the CIA, he said, well, we considered creating an Arab Legion to go and fight the Soviets in Afghanistan, and they did. And that's Al-Qaeda. And bin Laden is, I think, a figurehead. He's an ideologue, an eccentric, in many ways a basket case, somebody who needs comprehensive support in terms of not just kidney dialysis, but much, much more in order to function. I think Zawahiri, the guy who's been in the news as the supposed target of this murder of 20 people in some poor village in Pakistan, Zawahiri is a much more clever person. Zawahiri took part in the murder of Sadat, and then hung out in England for many years, and Jehan Sadat, the widow of Sadat, tried to get Zawahiri extradited back to Egypt, but the British would not extradite him. So I think Zawahiri is a MI5, MI6 asset, and he seems to be the one who knows what to do and who tells bin Laden what to do.
Well, and the latest foray, last week, we have the CIA, going into Pakistan, to supposedly take out the number two Al-Qaeda guy, and the only thing they did was kill a bunch of civilians.
Yeah, this is Zawahiri, right? This is the number two. Again,
yeah.
I think he's really the number one, and bin Laden is simply a lunatic that they keep, a visionary. I think the CIA values bin Laden for a number of reasons. Bin Laden essentially says, first of all, no Arab government is illegitimate. They're not the caliphate. They should all be overthrown. Tremendous service to the U.S. and the British right there. The other thing bin Laden tells the Muslims is, if you're a Muslim and you meet a non-believer, you have to kill him. Now, that rather isolates you, doesn't it? You won't be getting much help from Russia, China, Japan, South Africa, India at that rate.
Right, I understand. Reggie, you got 10 seconds. Anything else?
Keep up the fight. Onward, Christian soldiers. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Reggie. I appreciate it. Webster, this has been a real fast 2 hours.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure to have you on this program, and you have carte blanche over here.
Thank you very much. I look forward to it.
All righty. Thank you, sir.
See you soon.
All righty.
Bye.
Webster Tarpley, ladies and gentlemen, and the website, www.tarpley.net. Synthetic Terror is a man that knows, and he's basically blowing the whistle. And thank God that he's doing that. We'll be back with you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. May God bless you. We'll see you then.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.